Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Valley Bible Fellowship, how are you guys doing this evening? Well, online, how are you guys doing? One of these days, we'll get it. It'll be completely silent in here. And online, I hope you're doing good. If you're driving, drive safely. I mainly say that because my wife is a travel nurse and she's probably traveling right about, 5 minutes ago. She's on her way home. It's good. My name's Tom. I'm one of the pastors here and I'm mainly over at our Northwest campus. Thank you. I do appreciate that. It's very kind of you because it's crazy. When I speak on Wednesday nights, I like to not only prepare, but I like to start my night out where I used to sit when I just attended. I wasn't a Christian. I just attended, just showed up. I liked what was being said. I'll never forget. I think I sat, the seats were a little bit different, but I sat right over there. And if you guys remember Eric Mizell, he used to lead worship here. And I've been a music guy for my entire life. And I remember when Eric Mizell, I can't remember the name of the song that he was singing. It's an oldie, but I remember just bringing my phone out and just hitting record and just letting the worship just soak in. And I remember the days of not knowing a whole lot about anything in general. I was 19. What can you possibly know at 19 except how to not get girls? But it was this idea of listening to not only worship and worship songs, but then, you know, back in the day, you could download on your iPod, you know, sermons. You didn't necessarily have podcasts. That wasn't really even a thing. There wasn't YouTube to listen to. And so I remember just listening to all of Pastor Ron, Pastor Josh, and Pastor Jim's sermons on repeat, and it was just looping. And so it was just this idea of wanting to do the best that I could at what I understood, and which, like I said, at the time it wasn't a whole lot, but I like to sit back there and just remember that there really isn't a whole lot different between you and I. Like it really is just this idea of like a 3 foot I think it's about 3 feet that I am off the ground. And for those of you that are new and you're older than me, it's not something that I take lightly what this opportunity is. It's so much more than just gathering again. It's just another time for us to be here. My prayer, I've been praying for all of us, that we would all go in the same direction when it comes to following Jesus, that we would all be going in the right direction when it comes to what we are convicted for by the Holy Spirit. And my prayer this evening is that we would all go deeper in our understanding of who Jesus is, the power of the Holy Spirit, and of God. So that's where we're starting out here tonight. I do want to let you know a little bit about my current situation. I like to bring people in. My daughter, who is 5 years old, has been mentioning the same boy from school around the house. It's been fun. My wife came in, I was laying down, and my wife came in from putting her to sleep, and my wife's, you know, ear to ear, just smiling, whispering to me because she didn't want my daughter to know, but there was some boy. But thankfully, his name's been coming up less and less, but still, the name is around. But that's where I'm at. So in my walk with God, it's, you know, I'm trying not to pray certain prayers. I'm praying for her. So if you'd like to help me, that would be amazing. We are going to be in the book of 1 John here tonight. If you want to get your Bibles ready, we are going to be in chapter 3. And we'll be okay as far as my daughter is concerned. I don't think about it a lot. We'll be all right. Whoever said that. right here. But before we get started here this evening, my whole goal is that we would take our walk with God just a little bit more seriously, a little bit higher, that we would go just, we would increase, if you're thinking about this through a workout mindset, we're increasing the weight by 5 pounds. We're adding a little bit more. If you're a squat guy, it's awesome. If you're a runner, we're going another half mile on this. If you're a bench press guy, you know, we're adding 5 pounds on there. Whatever it is, if it's hot yoga, we're staying in another 2.5 minutes. Whatever your thing is, we're adding just a little bit more to what we know when it comes to following Jesus Christ, because there's something so good that we're going to talk about here, but I had the privilege of talking with somebody earlier today and about what it is that, you know, when it comes to following Jesus, what is it that the devil will try and do? The devil doesn't try to come out swinging with everything that he has. We know from scripture that he prowls, and we know that he hides. We know that he is someone that's waiting for a good opportunity. We don't have to worry about him being like a lion that's running full bore at you right now, trying to take everything out of you. No, he waits for his opportunity. He waits for you to be tired. He waits for you to be weak. He waits for you to be angry. He waits for you to be jealous. And then he pounces. And so in talking with him today, you know, this guy earlier, and we were talking about some stuff that was going on. It was just this little bit that the devil was trying to throw at him. And sometimes what we can do is we can be really overwhelmed with, oh my gosh, the devil. It's like, oh my gosh, Jesus, though. Because one of the things that I love so much about scripture is that we get to see the whole playbook. And we know that there's not only an end to the devil in the book of Revelation, but there is an end to hell itself. There is a second death. And those two big heavy hitters, the devil and hell, all get destroyed in the end. And so for us, we know the playbook. We know how it goes. That's awesome. So does the devil. He knows it. And so what's also interesting is, you know, sometimes as believers, we look so intently for ways to be happy that sometimes we can use a verse taken out of context to justify some sort of living that we want to do or live by. And that can get scary. I've been around so many young believers. If you don't know about this, older people, it's a crazy phenomenon that I have seen happening since I was like 19 to the age that I'm currently at now. And it is very interesting how I have seen so many young men and women that are so desperate to find true love that as soon as they see an individual, they are convinced that God has made that person their spouse. And it don't stop there, ladies and gentlemen. They will then tell that person, you are supposed to be my spouse. And it's so crazy because if God's talking to both of them, wouldn't God tell both of them? If God is really talking, I mean, it's interesting how people will justify a divorce, will justify not tithing, will justify certain things that seem legit. But if we remember, the devil used scripture against Jesus. That there was a time where Jesus was literate in the scriptures. Old Testament, obviously. You didn't have the New Testament then. It wasn't written. And so why I want to challenge you with this is let's just put those 5 pounders on. That just because you heard something that lined up with justifying potentially a sin doesn't necessarily mean that God's like, hey, I said no at the Ten Commandments back then. But for you in this specific situation, this doesn't count anymore. You can continue on in your sin. That would never happen. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, they would never conflict with God's Word. It would never happen. And so as we dive into Scripture tonight, we're jumping into something that will be very important for us because I think a lot of times we don't do this. We're so distracted. We've got tablets. We've got For those of you that don't know, some of these cars that are coming out now have internet in them, like Wi-Fi in them, because that's important. I was talking to somebody the other day about them being, I think it was a Tesla that they were in, anyways, on their way down to Los Angeles, and they were able to get work done because the thing was driving itself. Which, wow, the future, it's going to be so great. Now, if you're reading the Bible on the way over there or you know, just fasting and praying on your way to life, that would be, you know what, that is a great, thank you, Elon. We appreciate you. We appreciate what you're doing for us Christians. But that really isn't it. We're trying to overcome maybe a financial issue, so then we're working harder with those types of technologies and different things. But at the end of the day, what we need to get an understanding of is God works in the moments where we make time for him. God will make cloudy issues in your life completely clear when you spend time with him. But what we have a lot of times, what goes on is we have a lot of these like drive-by interactions with God, where we don't necessarily need to have it confirmed a time or two. We're just on our way from maybe the house to your job, or from your house to dropping your kids off at school to then to your job, or whatever it is, you're constantly going. And so the free time that you have is maybe that moment where your kid is finally dropped off at school and you can't remember that important thing that you could remember. So that way you have like a 10 second, oh, then that thing pops into your head again. And okay, God, give me 1 second real quick. I got to text this person. I know it's illegal to text and drive, but there's no cop behind me. I already looked. So I'm just going to text anyways, or I'm going to make the phone call anyways, put on speakerphone and set it down here. I got to justify and get and progress and move forward. And I've got to gain and I got to be successful because God, it is really on me. And I know that the way that you become successful is when I work and I go and I go. And it's just this idea where God's going, hey, all right, let me know when that burnout comes. I'll be right there for you. Have never left you, but that burnout is coming and it's coming quick. Here's where we are when we look at 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to be in verse 1. If you could put that up on the screen, please. It says, now, 1 John. That's probably a good passage of scripture too. But we're going to look for 1 John. If you have your Bibles on you, it says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Can everybody in this room and online participate as well? Can everyone say, I'm a child of God? Now let's do that again. But if you're a guy, say, I'm a son of God. And if you're a girl, say, I'm a woman of God. Here we go. Can we say it together? 3, 2, 1. I'm a son of God. And it kind of feels good when you own that. Even if you don't deserve it. It feels good to say, okay, oh, that's right. That is who I am. I tell my son that as I'm putting him to bed. I walked through the creation story with him as I was putting him to sleep, I think 2 nights ago, just telling him. He's like, son, you are one of the reasons that God said that you and everything he's ever created is really good, son, because of you. Because that's scripture. God created everything and said it was good. But then he created you and I, and he said that was really good. You and I are the reason that God said all of his creation is now really good. That is because we are sons and daughters of the living God. But have we ever done what the first part of this verse says? See. Another version, if you're looking at Old King James, says behold. And if you're a note taker, could you write that word down, that word behold? If you're somebody who is, if you're somebody who whether you're typing notes out or you're writing them down, write that word down, behold. Because that is what the Old King James says is behold, because it means to look at or upon observe, give attention to. If you could keep that up there, back room, please. To look at or upon, to observe, to bring attention to. This idea of looking at, bringing attention to the fact that you are a son or daughter of the living God. You're not an accident. You're not a screw up. You're not a failure. You are a son or a daughter of the living God. And then let's look at the two other verses after. It says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is." Let me wrap this up real quickly. Let's kind of sum that up because there's a lot of maybe a little bit of confusion. When I was first reading this, I was like, it's like reading Dr. Seuss a little bit. But it says, he's basically saying, we have not entered into this holy version of ourselves yet. That comes at his return. Because when we see him in his holy form, then we will be in our holy form. That's kind of what he's saying here, that there's a hope here for us to look at. There's something coming. And in verse 3, it says, "And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as perfect." Okay, if we can leave that verse up there. "Just as he is pure." This is why I love translations of the Bible so much. Because if you notice, there are some hymns that are capitalized and others that are not, to kind of help, you know, guide us on who we're talking about here. Anything capitalized is holy, anything not. So fixed on him, Jesus purifies us just as he is pure. There is a hope behind all of this, going back to the word behold. There's a hope to this idea of holding on to something and looking at the fact that you and I are children of God. It should birth in us this idea of looking into what is to come for us. Because I have a lot of conversations with people, God bless you over there, who have been hurt by Christians. It's very easy to be hurt by Christians. It seems like, I mean, gosh, if any of you are around my age, you guys remember televangelists? I think they still exist. I don't know, because I got Netflix. I live in 2022, not 1990. So televangelists, if you're looking for a really fun YouTube compilation, There's a televangelist compilation of just some of the craziest, weirdest televangelists out there. I'm not going to say any because I'm not trying to attack. I'm sure at the beginning, you know, there was obviously holy men and women of God. But it makes us look a little different. And then that's not even counting, you know, all of the different kinds of pastors that have had to step down over the years at all the different kinds of churches because of sin in their life, whatever kind of sin it is. There have been things that have happened. And so it becomes very difficult for people who are on the fringe or on the outside looking in going, hey, why am I supposed to be afraid of hell when some of y'all are either weird or messing up just like I do? And I think the answer comes from the very fact that we don't do what the Bible tells us to do. Because when was the last time that you ever really looked at the fact of what really happened to save you from your sin? I'm going to walk you through something that happened to me. Pastor Ron's message on message on Sunday, he was talking about how Jesus dying on the cross then is telling Mary that John will now be taking care of you. And I love my kids, okay? It's like a borderline sin. Like, don't take any false gods. Like, I get it. But my kids sometimes, I go, I gotta calm down and check myself, make sure I love God as much as I love my kids. They can do no wrong in my eyes. I was looking at my phone, and my son will just grab my phone and will just take all these pictures and just fill my memory with all the stupidest photos of our wall at super close and just fill it. And then there's like peanut butter all over my phone, and I love every ounce of it. I love cleaning it up. I love the memory. Him and I, we went to Starbucks this morning and I got him a coffee cake and I got myself a spinach feta wrap. And what does he want? He wants my thing. And I'm like, absolutely, son, you're a growing young man. Eat all the food, I'll starve to death. You're amazing and I love you. And it is one of these, you know, these moments where you as a parent, you really do learn so much from your kids. And in learning of this love that God has for us through your kids, and to sit there and to look at what Scripture says that as we are to sit, I mean, because my daughter's already fallen in love and she's in the fifth grade. I beat her because when I was young, I had a girlfriend in preschool. Not a big deal. Just saying it because my mom said I came home heartbroken the very next day that I confessed my love to my mom. Apparently, it is what it is. I don't hold grudges. But my daughter is like a teenager now. She's 5, but she's a teenager. And I'm already catching that glimpse. Like, she came home yesterday from school. Scarlett, how was your day? She was like walking with her toys. Dad, I'm tired and I just want to chill. It's like, you're playing with your toys. You're using your imagination. Your energy is high right now. What are we? And so I'm having conversations with my wife and I'm learning about, like, I got to chill. I've got to, you know, not take it so offensively. I'm not doing whatever. And I'm seeing this side where the ones that I love with every ounce of me, they're not wanting to, my wife wants more than 2 kids. And my son, every time I come home, my son just beelines it for me and gives me a big old hug. I love it. And I said, Justin, as soon as Jeremiah stops doing that, we can have our 3rd kid. Because I love that love. When I come in the door and I just get that love from him. And it's this thing where he's starting to do that a little bit less. We're not pregnant, okay? Not happening. But he's starting to do it less. And it's this thing where I'm like, oh, they're growing up. And I imagine how God feels. Pastor Ron shares that story of Mary watching her son die. Because how cool was it? Because in 2 months, we're going to celebrate it. Ah! You're having the Son of God. And she's like, this is crazy. Oh, yay, I have a son. And then growing. And there was an amazing moment. And then she's at the cross. And Jesus. And I got my 2. And they're starting to get a little older. And they're starting to not spend as much time with me. And I imagine how God feels when He's like, I've loved you with everything. I can't physically give anymore because I gave it all. But we get too busy with our tablets and our phones and our priorities and our relationships. And then we begin to slowly forget who we are. Over time, we believe that all we will ever be is this, insert whatever negative term you've been telling yourself. Not good enough, not worthy, don't deserve. When God goes, just come back to me and spend time with me. Behold, take hold of and look at what I say about you. Because I think sometimes we get it a little bit twisted when it comes to the idea of what the responsibility of a Christian is. Evangelize. Save the lost. Once again, when I was growing up in the church, it was souls. Souls. Go get souls. It's hard to do. I was never a souls guy. I was a worship guy. I was a sing songs, emotional kind of guy. So now am I disqualified from being loved by God because I'm not souls? No. Because when you sit in the presence of God, when you make time for God and you sit in His presence, and you go, God, what do you say about me? That will be the only motivation that you and I will ever need to go out and just be representatives of Jesus. We don't have to, because I think sometimes we get it twisted that you know, we got to be in the grocery store and, you know, you're looking at your cart and you're like, okay, so that's going to come out to about $150. And I'm a Christian, so I got to pay for the person behind me who has way more than I do. All right, okay, I'm going to chill and I'm not going to do it. So then you're like, oh, I'll do it at Starbucks. And I go to Starbucks and you're like, okay, here we go. Oh, sweet, no one's in line. Okay, cool. I'm just going to get mine. But God, you saw my heart. And sometimes we do that, because I remember walking the Walmart aisles because I was like, come on, God, give me someone to pray for. Give me someone. So I'm beelining it. I'm like, the next person down this aisle. And it's like, boom, nobody's there. I'm like, okay, I'll go to another aisle. Boom, nobody's there. And I'm like, but Lord, I'm making myself available for you. Use me, because that's Christianity. And that's the idea. But we never see Jesus do that. We never see Jesus do that. I bet Jesus was just so calm, collected. I mean, he says to Peter three times, after not only being denied by Peter, but says to Peter three times, do you love me? Peter's like, yeah, I do. No, Peter, do you love me? Yes, of course I do. Okay, Peter, one last time, do you love me? Because that's what it all came down to. Do you love him? Not do you appreciate him? We all send that text out when it's really awkward to tell somebody you love. I appreciate you so much. That's an easy text. Guy to guy, I've done that. I love you. Backspace, backspace, backspace. Appreciate you. Send. You just don't know where you're at yet. But that's what God is calling us to do, is to sit there and behold. He loves you. But if you don't know he loves you, you're definitely not telling other people about how much he loves them, because you don't know it. Because sometimes what we'll do is we'll go through and, you know, the church, if you don't know it, the church has a devotional that we go through, a chapter in the Old Testament and the New Testament every day. And I used to think that I was on God's good list every time I read the New Testament and Old Testament, all before 8 a.m. But I could tell you, majority of that time, I had no idea what I was reading. And even worse, even if I did get something by like 12, I couldn't even remember what it was. So is that really better? Or is it just as good to sit before the Father and say, Lord, I'm going to try this? Because this is what Wednesday nights are supposed to be, is like a Bible study. We've only technically gone through one verse. We read three, but we're staying on verse one. Because that's what God does. He packs so much inside of one verse, that for you and I to sit here together and just look at it, like, okay, we're supposed to behold this idea that you and I are children of God. And so I just want to encourage you, if you join us on Sundays, for the next few days till the message on Sunday, to just think about how much God would love you. There's this huge world for us to see. You can't tell me that I'm wrong in the thought that God, like, you know those crazy, amazing sunsets and sunrises that we'll see with clouds and the beauty and all that stuff? You can't tell me God didn't paint that for you to see. You can't tell me that. Because it says that God orchestrates our days. He's a conductor. And so he's telling all of nature to do this and do that and do this and do that and do this and do that. Like, it's not accidental the people you're sitting next to. It's not accidental the people that you work with. It's not accidental that you belong to the family that you belong to. It's not accidental. God orchestrated all this, every single ounce of it. And so we would come to a place like this and just be reminded of it. But Tom, I'm not super crazy about the circumstances that I have around me. That might be a you and God thing to wrestle through. I was looking at through some old Facebook messages from years ago. And it's so crazy the kinds of grace that God will give you. I don't know where everyone's walk with the Lord is at right now. Only you and him know. Maybe you got saved like years ago, and maybe you still don't know any scripture whatsoever. You don't know what the first or last book of the Bible is. And maybe you beat yourself up because of it. But you're here. You're listening. You might beat yourself up because you live in Bakersfield, but you're still tuning in online. At least you're listening while playing the new Call of Duty, I guess. But I look at my kids, and sure, my daughter very rarely wants to tell me about her day. And sure, my son would like to be with his mom way more than he would like to be with me. Every time I get him up from sleeping or whatever, he's like, "Where's mom?" I'm like, "Okay, bud, come on." But I still love him. Still crazy about him. There's nothing the scriptures say. There's nothing that the Bible says that could ever separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. So throughout the week, the rest of this week, I just want to encourage you, behold this truth. Because one day, you and I will see our Savior and our Maker face to face. Oh, what a day that'll be. Oh, what a day that'll be. And it'll just be, I feel like it will just be us. And when I say us, I mean me, God, and Jesus. I don't know where you'll be. I won't care. Because the one that I've been fighting for however long it's been, he'll be right there. And we'll be talking. And some weird way, you will all be doing the same thing. It doesn't make sense. Probably should have started with that tonight. And now all of our minds are blown. We have no idea what the message was about. But what our goal is as believers is to not be so busy that we forget that we're loved. We can't get so busy that we forget that we're loved. I'd like to pray, and we'll close tonight. If you'll bow your heads. Father, I just, what an honor it is that we get to be called your kids. What an honor it is that your love for us continues to run after us. I just thank you so much. I pray for those who feel that they don't know you like they should. Lord, I pray for that condemnation to be lessened. Pray for your Holy Spirit to do a work on them. I pray for everyone's memory in this place to be strengthened, to remember this message, to remember your word. Holy Spirit, empower us to do and make the decisions that we need to so that we can truly live the way that you've intended us to live. To be happy walking with you. to be confident that we are loved endlessly. I pray against all the lies that the enemy has been trying to tell us. We bind him in Jesus' name. We bind him, Lord, and release the Holy Spirit to do cleanup on whatever it is that the enemy was doing. And if there's anybody in this place that would like to give their lives over to our Savior, to follow Jesus, to live with the Holy Spirit inside of them, I'd ask you just to stay in your seat. But I'll count down for you to raise your hand to make this decision to follow Jesus, to make him your Savior. On the count of three, if you would just raise your hand, I know there's somebody in here. One, God loves you, he truly does. Two, you will never, ever, ever, ever be the same. Three, if that's you, raise your hand. If you'd like to make the decision to follow Jesus. God, we thank you so much for those hands that have gone up. We ask you, God, as there's prayer people with them, I ask, Lord, that you would bless them for their efforts, that you would bless them with your Holy Spirit. We thank you in advance for what's going to happen in their lives. We thank you for bringing them into the family. We thank you for bringing them in here tonight. Eternity will be changed forever for them and the people around them. And I just thank you for that, God. That is not something small to be thankful for. Can we give it up for them? If there was a couple people in the house. We'll close with this. Father, we just love you. We thank you and we praise you for what you're going to do in our lives. Help us to behold your word. Help us to behold your truth. Help us to behold who it is that we are in your eyes. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Have a great rest of your week, guys.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our love.